Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome back after such a long hiatus to the 8-Bit Adventures podcast, a podcast bringing you the latest and greatest geeky news of the past week. I am your host, Sean Hayes, and this is the 8-Bit Adventures podcast, episode 296. So 296 episodes, finally back after a few months off, for having another baby. And it feels good. It feels a lot better than some of the news items this week, let me tell you. we're back. I had some plans on how to kind of redo the format, ultimately decided to kind of just keep things simple, with the current format. I was trying to plan on doing some, stream overlays, maybe like if to do some like background music. But ultimately I just decided to more focused on just getting back to doing it. And then, maybe getting some feedback from patrons, on Patreon, to see what their thoughts are. So, and also, going to be overhauling the Patreon as well. Maybe revamp the goals, and kind of get things squared away there. Hope everyone's been doing well. Feels good to be back in the podcasting chair. I was supposed to do an episode last week, and then it was the day before, I went to record. Or actually, I was for the past 2 weeks. The day before I went to get everything set up, my power supply died on my machine. And then it took a week to get that replaced, get that all swapped in and everything. So unfortunately, was a little... had plans and, is what it is. So... that said, why don't we get into this week's topics? Because, oh boy, we are starting things off with a bit of a doozy. So here we go. All right, so kick things off. PC Gamer. Sorry, this story, I need like a moment to collect myself because this story just irritates me to no end. So PC Gamer reports the developers of a digital TCG named Champions of Otherworldly Magic have opted to, well, and I say opted to, but like they were bragging about how... they were paying an individual to enter in prompts to an AI generation algorithm. I don't know which one they're using, if it's just Midjourney or something else. And then perform like light, and supposedly perform little light touch-ups to remove any of the, AI generation artifacts. They are paying this individual $15,000 a month for a grand total of about 40 hours each month. So 10 hours a week, $15,000 a month. They have so far spent $90,000. And supposedly they claim that's because this individual is like the best in the industry, quote unquote. and is able to generate for them like hundreds of upon hundreds of images each month. And they're doing that instead of hiring an actual art team. Now, doing a little bit more research into this game and this company. This game is like sort of the unholy trinity of it is AI generated art. The cards are intended to be NFTs and can be bought and sold via cryptocurrency. So for a lot of listeners of the podcast, that should inform you as to what this game is really about. I'm personally not convinced that this isn't a money laundering scheme of some sort. I've seen some of the gameplay. It's like a very like low tier hack of Hearthstone. And like the art, because it's AI generated art, looks like they're just ripping off of Blizzard. Because that's what AI generated art looks like. Given that a lot of Blizzard's art, like particularly Hearthstone and Warcraft, tend sort of toward what if you were to amalgamate a lot of fantasy art, kind of comes out looking like that. And this is no exception. I mean, this is like if you had told me that they had hired a bunch of artists who work on Hearthstone, I would have probably bought it. But at the same time, it just kind of has like a, like the art itself has a, like, we just need to churn this out quick look to it. Which is entirely what's happening. So, $15,000 a month for an individual to basically work a week a month, entering AI prompts and just churning out these images. I'm trying really hard to not lose my temper on this. This is an actual case where, and like it would be cheaper to hire an art team. And they're just flaunting about how much money they're spending on this. Yeah, it's like when you do that, like that screams to me that this is money laundering. especially if it's NFTs and crypto as well, like, or some sort of dark web connections to this game. Which all in all, like, just go play Hearthstone. And the whole point was like they just really seem to be hammering on like not gameplay, but just the marketplace factor of being able to like buy and sell your stuff on the marketplace. And it's like, I don't know, it feels like that when Diablo 3 started with that, everybody lost their mind about it. I don't know, like, and just railing on games like Hearthstone or Arena, like Magic the Gathering Arena, for not being able to trade stuff. But, I mean, the counterpoint is, you know, you can, like, disenchant your stuff to get dust, which can then be used to craft new cards. Or in the case of Arena, like, you just get cards until you get like a play set of them, and then you just automatically get wild cards that can be used as a one for one to like craft a card of an equal rarity. So, I mean, there's ways to do that. I don't know. Also, I feel like, you know, the whole trading and like making money off of cards aspect is really only done by like serious collectors And this is a common sentiment that I have in trading card game communities, is like, these people would better spend their money just investing in day trading. Like, that's the part that's wild to me, is like, you would actually make more money just investing in stocks and like do like trading stocks as opposed to cardboard. Or in this case, pixels and bytes of information. So, yeah, I also don't know what the player base for this game is like. There is an unofficial subreddit that has two people, like two members for it. So, you know, supposedly the Discord server has like 2,000 people, but, So, yeah. Just, in case you think that, generative AI won't magically take over, art jobs, it already is. So, and this is an example of that. And it's sort of an egregious example of that because, like, they're just literally overpaying. You know, and I've seen it in freelance listings, is people would rather pay someone to generate, like to put in prompts and then just fully automate through AI content instead of putting in the work to make their own content. So this is the world we live in. So, all right, enough about this topic. I don't want to talk about this anymore. it irritates me and frustrates me to no end. So, next up, Cynthia Williams has stepped down as president of Wizards of the Coast, according to SEC filings. Williams noted for her support of OGL 1.1, and the famous quote of D&D as a brand is under monetized. You know, that said, also oversaw, you know, sort of the licensing of D&D to Larian for Baldur's Gate 3, and sort of the expansion of D&D and Magic the Gathering during her tenure. You know, that said, past couple of years, there's been, you know, a lot of the feedback concerning some decisions that have been made about D&D, and especially Magic the Gathering, not very favorable, you know, whether you like Universes Beyond or not. There's certainly been a greater focus on pushing that as a product for Magic the Gathering. Commander becoming the primary format that's being focused on for releases. The pace of releases for Magic the Gathering, where, you know, basically the Magic community is just being beaten over the head with release upon release upon release. So that there's basically, in effect, a set coming out every month. You know, it might not be a full-fledged set, but it might be a series of, you know, a batch of Commander decks, or a Universes Beyond product, or a secret lair, or a full-fledged set, or, you know, a mini set. To the point that it's an unsustainable pace, I think. You're going to hit a point where the community, basically, you know, like there won't be the support of enough people in the community, you know, for a hobby. You know, it'll just be, you know, my guess is the hobby is being propped up by the folks who are treating it as an investment, you know, who are basically buying boxes of booster packs to crack them open and then resell them you know, the singles. There's no word from Hasbro as to, like, they're currently searching for a replacement. No word as to how long that's going to take. Comes at an interesting time where Wizards is gearing up for D&D's 50th anniversary. So imagine not having a CEO in place to oversee that. I don't know. There is speculation that the new president will be selected by Hasbro CEO Chris Cox, that it'll be somebody more in line with what his vision is for the brands and the company. So, unfortunately, speaking of AI, we may see somebody who is a little more open to generative AI being used in products and services for D&D and Magic. You know, hopefully that's not the case, but that is certainly what Chris Cox seems to be moving toward. Up next, Fortnite is doing another crossover, crossover event, I guess, with Star Wars. This time, it'll be spanning three different game modes, which is kind of like the first time that's happened of that scale. So this crossover will span, Battle Royale mode, which is typically where you see the crossover events. With like, you know, sometimes it'll be of like interesting, like mini objectives or like mini games even within Battle Royale mode. Or skins or unlockables and things like that. It will also cross over to festival mode and Lego mode. Crossing over to Lego mode doesn't surprise me at all. Star Wars and Lego have a big, big partnership, very lucrative for the two of them. Lots of partnership for like Lego Star Wars video games. So like that makes sense. I'm curious to see what they do for festival mode. And then, you know, Battle Royale, it might just be more skins, maybe they'll do some stuff promoting, the Acolyte, Ahsoka, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, so that is coming fairly soon. So be on the lookout for that if you are still an active and avid Fortnite player. Next up, this is a bit weird. Polygon reports that an animated comedy series by animation studio Titmouse is in production for Sega's Golden Axe. This came out of left field. Was not expecting this at all. Golden Axe, a classic sort of arcade, sort of side-scrolling brawler. This is a weird choice. Like, because it's not a franchise that's like carried over. So it seems a bit weird. Like, I don't know if it made it past the Genesis. Admittedly. And I remember, you know, my best friend growing up had it on the Genesis. And because Golden Axe is the one where, like, your character could eventually, like, turn into a werebeast kind of thing. Animated comedy series. So Studio Titmouse, known for, they were the ones who worked on Legend of Vox Machina. They've done a ton of stuff for, like, Adult Swim. So this will be a series on Comedy Central, which is also like, this is bizarre, like just completely out of left field. I'm speechless. I don't know how to talk about this. So, yeah, I mean, I think now's the time to do it. It very much aligns with, sort of Dungeons & Dragons being mainstream. So I'm curious to see if we're going to see a bunch of fantasy, series and content and projects come out. Because, fantasy's kind of been in the forefront since, the big wave of Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. But I think it kind of took a backseat to superhero stuff. So kind of wondering if we'll start seeing more fantasy stuff now that Dungeons & Dragons is kind of hit peak brand saturation, I think, in public consciousness. I don't know how much more D&D can get in public consciousness. And by extension, other TTRPGs. So I think if you're going to do a project like this, now's, I guess, the time. It's just weird, and I mean, this is coming on the news of Sega doing a bunch of other projects coming up with Sonic 3 and the Knuckles spinoff. I think there were a couple other projects mentioned in the article, but Golden Axe was not anywhere on my 2024 bingo card. There we go. It's a thing where Comedy Central, I don't know where that ends up on streaming. I assume it will go on streaming somewhere. I don't know if it'll be on Max or Paramount or Hulu. But we'll have to see. I mean, it might be worth checking out. And it's being headed by the director, I believe, of Star Wars Lower Deck or Star Trek Lower Decks. Please forgive me for that slip up. Star Trek the Lower Decks. And that show was pretty good. So who knows? I mean, I think it'll probably have the same level of humor. It's weird. It's weird, man. Oh, boy. All right, next up. Gaming company former presidents. So Kotaku reports that former Blizzard CEO Mike Ybarra, no longer with the company, sort of quite suddenly, either left or stepped down. Notably, he was formerly at Microsoft, and now that they're owned by Microsoft, I don't know if Microsoft was maybe get out, or if he's just not needed at this point. I don't know. Yeah, I don't recall where, if he's gotten picked up somewhere else, or if he's kind of in a transitional period. But to give some insight as to sort of his decision-making process and everything, recently shared some thoughts across social media. Now, normally I don't, individual sharing their thoughts on social media, not really big newsworthy, but with him being former CEO at Blizzard, I felt this was warranted, he wishes basically AAA games, but basically any sort of full price game experience, big projects and everything, had an option, when you finish the game, to tip the development team. So this is, mind you, you have paid $70 for this experience, and that if you really love it, that you have the option to tip the dev team even further, which really means that you pay the company more money. and this is coming along, and the reason why it's relevant is of things like Dragon's Dogma 2, where it being like a full game AAA game experience, and then also including a microtransaction shop into, you know, it's a thing that you paid full price for, is primarily intended to be a single player experience. Like, I know you can do multiplayer in that. But it's weird. It's a weird take. Like, here's the thing. I've had games where, like, there, you know, and he was like, oh, you know, if there's just a once in a lifetime or, you know, quite a unique experience that is really a special thing, like, you should be able to support them more. And it's like, I mean, you can. You could buy the game again and gift it to somebody. Like, the weird tipping thing is, like, it's just going to go back to the corporation. You know, because unless you want to put in the research for individual members of the dev team and then see, like, if they have Patreons or something. Because I have seen that. where you know, people in game development aren't paid enough money so that, you know, they also do freelancing or their own content creation on the side. Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. IGN, like some folks at IGN, I think it might have been Legere, absolutely blasted it and saying like just, you should just pay your people more. Like, that's how you show your love and support for that. Like, a corporation should pay its people more. It's such a weird thing. I've had games where it was pretty special. And where I've bought the game multiple times. That hasn't happened very often, because that means buying it on multiple platforms. I think Stardew Valley is kind of the only one that qualifies for that. Actually, that's not fair. If you want to include re-releases of things, then yes. I mean, and Nintendo does that all the time. So there is that. But yeah. Larian did a fantastic job with Baldur's Gate 3. I do not feel compelled to, on top of what I paid as an early access backer, and I don't know, for, you know, whatever collector's edition type thing that I ended up going with, to then at the end of it, see, be, you know, tip them additional money. Also, it's also a very American of, like, tipping. Like, for a thing that, like, in an industry where it's not even remotely a concept, like, it's already a thing where there is plenty of discourse in the United States of whether tipping should be a thing anyways in industries where it is currently the norm of, like, the hospitality, you know, the hospitality restaurant industry. there's discourse as to whether tipping should be a thing or you should just pay your people. So the fact of, and it's just this is who we ended up with. If you're a World of Warcraft fan, as the CEO, instead of Jen O'Neill, former CEO of Vicarious Visions, now Blizzard Albany. I, man. Imagine what we could have gotten if Jen O'Neill was CEO instead of the weird co-CEO situation where this guy ended up getting paid more than her. You know, in some argument of like more experience or something, when in reality, like, they both had the chops. They were both in literally the same position. So, yeah. So weird takes from a former Blizzard CEO. All right. Last bit of news. This is the most fun news. There was a Nintendo Indie World Showcase. Silk Song was not mentioned anywhere. So just continuing that trend. I don't know what is the bigger meme at this point of Silk Song or Metroid Prime 4. So just want to share some personal highlights for me from the Indie World Showcase. Because there was a whole bunch of stuff. I think the video is up, you know, on Nintendo of America's YouTube channel or whatever your regional Nintendo channel is. But some personal highlights, things that like look exciting to me. Because of limited budgets, not sure if and when I will pick them up, but ones that like I am happy to spread the word on. So things like Big Kitty Little City. I saw a description of this game that I think is really apt when trying to condense down the idea in a pitch, which is a thing that I learned when taking game design in college, is like when you're trying to like pitch a concept of a game, you want to come up with like a very short description and often say like this meets this. This game feels like Stray meets Untitled Goose Game. And that sounds awesome. It's very cute graphics. You play as a cat who accidentally, harmlessly, falls out the window, like falls off your balcony in a city. And your goal is to get home. your goal is to just make it back home. But along the way, you meet all sorts of, you know, random animal friends who have all, you know, sorts of little side tasks and things that you can help out with. And that's the game. So it feels, again, very much like Untitled Goose Game, where it's sort of a bit open-ended. Like there are things for you to do and there is a goal for the game. But ultimately it's a little sandboxy in that, you know, you can kind of do what you want. There's all sorts of fun. You can unlock all sorts of fun little hats to put on your cat avatar and cat emotes of things. So, you know, so you can have your little cat do like a big stretch or, you know, pretty paws or rolling over and all sorts of cat behavior like that. So ultimately, this is just games like this and Untitled Goose Game, I think, are great. And I think the industry could use more of them. So my hope is that, you know, how the game runs, how the game plays, and everything lives up to its marketing. So hopefully that comes out well, because I would love to see this succeed. Cat Quest 3, speaking of cat games. So I played Cat's Quest 1. I did not play Cat's Quest 2, but that was apparently similar vein. So Cat Quest, awesome little cute RPG, sort of action RPG. This one is pirate based, so you fight pirates. A lot of cat puns and little cute behaviors. So you, like, when you rest, you take a little cat nap, and your dude just sort of falls over. onto the ground. And this one adds like ship combat so that you can get a little ship and sail around and shoot cannons at people. You know, I recommend Cat's Quest 1. And everything looked pretty similar gameplay wise. So digging that. And pirate themed. I can't go wrong with pirate themed for a game. TMNT Splintered Fate. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splintered Fate. This looks like sort of a Marvel Ultimate Alliance type game. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, again, can rarely go wrong with that. I think it fits well with an Ultimate Alliance style gameplay. And then has some sort of interdimensional alternate dimension type thing going on. And some roguelike elements, it seems. So that's a way to, I think, keep gameplay fresh and interesting. So yeah, really excited about that. Another Crab's Treasure. So this is another sort of cute game. I remember the initial marketing for this game was like undersea cutesy crab Dark Souls. So this is like a Souls-like game where you play as a hermit crab and you're going around like trying to get your shell back and like fighting bigger opponents to get bigger shells. Yeah, I've been excited for this. I would like to see it succeed. And yeah. finally, SteamWorld Heist 2. So I like the SteamWorld franchise. I mean, SteamWorld Heist, I'm not a big fan of the genre. So unfortunately, like, again, they do like a pirate thing with this game. Unfortunately, the gameplay is not really my style. But if you like sort of XCOM type games, this is like a 2D style XCOM game, as opposed to like a 3D one where you're moving around the battlefield and like behind cover and stuff. It's more of like a 2D platformer XCOM. But that said, a lot of the subsystems are things that I really enjoy. It's got a job system, customizable skills, again, ship combat, upgradable parts for a boat. This is like they really went hard on putting systems in the game that I would enjoy. And unfortunately, because I played SteamWorld Heist, and it was fun, but it wasn't really enough to keep my attention. Especially compared to some of the other SteamWorld games, like SteamWorld Quest, that was for sure, a big title that I played a bunch. And also shout out to Stitch, which is another title that was shown. It's sort of a stitching embroidery, like, puzzle game. Wanted to give this a shout out because I recommended this to former 8BA podcast co-host Courtney. Just as like a sort of relaxing mindfulness game, which they wanted to do something for people to just kind of slow down, almost like doing Sudoku. But like you're also creating little patterns and images and like cross stitch type things. So yeah. So we had some great stuff in the Indie World Showcase. Again, no Silk Song. So Silk Song fans, you are still left out in the cold. But you know, them's the breaks. So yeah. But again, a bunch of lovely little titles. And there were a bunch of other titles that were brought up and showcased. It's just I only got so much bandwidth to focus on a few different things, and they weren't games that really caught my attention. But definitely check out the video, or at least one of the myriad of articles talking about a breakdown of things that were released. I think Big Kitty Little City could be kind of a big hit. If they can just make it really polished. Especially if they can nail that charm factor from like Untitled Goose Game. Well, folks, that's going to wrap things up for this week. Thank you for joining me for the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. It's great to be back. If you would like to see more content from 8-Bit Adventures, be sure to check out our website at 8bitadventures.com. Over there, you can find sort of links for the podcast. You can find links for comics and artwork, other stream stuff that I do. It's sort of the one-stop shop for all the content that gets produced is under this platform. If you would like to support that content, you can either subscribe on Twitch, or you can become a patron over at patreon.com/8bitadventures. again, going to kind of rework the Patreon tiers just to kind of, I want to make sure that people are getting good benefits out of things. So there is some behind the scene content, some Patreon exclusive like comics and stuff that are available. But you can become a patron for as little as $1 a month and get access to most of those benefits. There are some higher tier benefits currently available, but again, I'm going to be reworking stuff in the future. Kind of redo some tiers, maybe some physical art as part of that, like monthly physical art, but you know, we'll see. Additionally, if you would like to help support this stuff without, you know, maybe you're like me, budget's a little limited. You can also engage with the content. So if you see this on, YouTube, like, subscribe, click to get notifications. You know, if you see it on social media, just comment, like, all that fun stuff. Because engagement is the name of the game these days with algorithms. So if you like this content, engage with it, please. And you know, if you're an audio listener, number one, thank you. Thank you for being here for all this time. Leave a review on your podcasting app or on the apps. I don't know what it's called anymore. It used to be like the podcast app or Apple Pod or iTunes. I don't know what it is these days. But I also wanted to thank you for all you listeners, patrons, subs. Thank you for your support. Finally, opening theme since 2015, when I first started doing this, one and only has been One Up by the illustrious Professor Shy Guy. If you like his work, if you like the opening theme and want to check out more of his stuff, he's pretty good. He's a chiptune artist. Check out his stuff over at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. And with that, we are all done for this episode. So thank you all for joining me. And as always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your piking.